This is Troy from Morrison, Georgia. I'm so excited. I'm speechless.
Fire those cannons, boys. Bucks win, man. What a stressful event that was. But we came out of it with a victory. That young man for the Washington football team played his guts out. All respect to him. Whew, I've been sweating for 3 hours, but what a wonderful experience to get to share with my son. That's his first experience with playoffs, and he might have learned some new words from me tonight, but we enjoyed it. And I don't know. I'm speechless too, guys. Go Bucks.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast, brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you will receive 20% off your next order. I am James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we are doing over at BucsNation.com, and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at JYarko underscore Bucs, at DHarrison82, and at Bucs underscore Nation. Like to welcome in all of our old and our new listeners to the podcast. Your Tampa Bay Buccaneers are winners in the postseason for the first time since this happened.
Third down, 18, dropping Gannon, looking Gannon, looking Gannon, throws up the middle, picked off! At the Derek 40, Brooks. Derek Brooks 30, Brooks to the 25, 20, gone. Derek Brooks all the way, there it is, the dagger's in, no. We're going to win the Super Bowl!
Super Bowl, baby!
That's right. It was 6,193 days since the last Buccaneers playoff victory, but they are moving on to the divisional round on this early drop victory Sunday and Monday episode of the Locked On Bucs podcast. We are going to talk about what went down, what we liked, what we didn't, and of course, we will revisit our predictions from before the weekend. But first, David, let's recap how it all went down on Saturday night.
And on Saturday night, it wasn't Alex Smith, but Taylor Heinicke who led the NFC East division champion Washington football team onto the field to face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But it was the GOAT who got the show started as Tampa Bay took the first possession of the game and immediately put Washington down 3 with a 29-yard field goal from Ryan Succop. On Washington's first possession, a drop pass on 2nd and 14 cost Heinicke a first down and more, and the Bucs defense was able to force their first 3-and-out of the game. Brady and the Buccaneers offense eventually punted the ball back to Washington, sending them all the way back to their own 14-yard line to start their second possession of the game, which ended like this.
It will be 2nd down 11, moving left, right to left. Washington dropping to throw pressure. Ball tipped to the line. Oh, it's picked off. Intercepted to the 42-yard line by Sean Murphy Bunting.
Sean Murphy Bunting's first career postseason interception came at the Tampa Bay 42-yard line after Heinicke connected with wide receiver Cam Sims for a 36-yard play, getting the ball to midfield. 6 plays later, it was the usual playoff suspects teaming up as Brady found Antonio Brown in the end zone for a 36-yard touchdown, and the Bucs jumped out to a 9-0 lead after the extra point was blocked by Washington. It didn't take long for Heinicke to get back in rhythm for his football team, however, as he completed 3 of his 4 pass attempts on the ensuing drive for 52 yards, setting up running back J.D. McKissic for a 2-yard touchdown run, bringing the score to 9-7 in favor of the 11-win Buccaneers. Brady hasn't built his legacy on taking it easy on inexperienced quarterbacks, however, and 5 plays later, the Bucs re-extended the lead with this play.
From the Washington 47, Brady dropping, throwing, caught ball, Chris Godwin, touchdown Tampa Bay! Perfect throw from Brady, and Godwin beat the defender, a post route, and it's another touchdown for the Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay went for 2, trying to recoup the earlier missed extra point, but failed, leading the score at 15-7. On their next offensive possession, the Bucs again drove down the field, and this time Ryan Succop answered with a 23-yard field goal to extend the first half score to 18-7. Anthony Nelson's first career postseason sack forced a 2nd 3-and-out against the Washington offense, and neither team would come close to scoring again, entering the halftime break with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers leading the Washington football team 18-7. An interesting first half stat shared by Jenna Lane of ESPN via ESPN Statistics and Information: Tom Brady was 5-for-6 for 114 yards and 2 touchdowns on passes of 15 yards or more in the first half. More of those types of completions in one half than the Washington defense had allowed in a singular full game all season long.
The Washington football team started off the second half by continuing to climb back into the game. Taylor Heinicke was able to connect with Terry McLaurin for a quick first down, then found tight end Logan Thomas for a 29-yard gain to get Washington into scoring range. From the 24-yard line, however, Washington was only able to gain 6 more yards, and they settled for a 36-yard Dustin Hopkins field goal to cut the lead to 18-10. The Bucs offense had no answer, gaining just 3 yards and punting the ball away after 3 plays. On the following Washington possession, the Bucs defense stepped up and forced a 3-and-out of their own. Once the Bucs got the ball back, they began marching down the field. Brady found Mike Evans for a 13-yard gain on 3rd and 7. They connected with Cam Brate for another 13-yard gain on 3rd and 4. On the very next play, though, running back Keyshawn Vaughn gained 6 yards and had the ball punched out as he was going down, giving the ball back to Washington at their own 39-yard line. Heinicke found his favorite target of the night, Cam Sims, for a quick 19-yard gain on 1st down to get into Buccaneers territory. On 1st and 10, Antonio Gibson gained just 3 yards on a run to the outside, but Bucs corner Sean Murphy Bunting got flagged for a horse collar tackle, giving Washington a free 14 yards, setting up 1st and 10 from the 13. On 3rd and 5, Heinicke was able to escape pressure by both Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul, scrambling 8 yards and diving to the pylon for a touchdown. The 2-point conversion failed, but the Bucs' lead was cut to 18-16. Brady and the offense would put together a solid drive, but the red zone woes would continue to rear their ugly head. After getting 1st and 10 at the Washington 23, Fournette would gain 8 yards, setting up 2nd and 2, but after a Daron Payne sack and an incomplete pass to Antonio Brown, the Bucs had to settle for another Ryan Succop field goal, extending the lead to 21-16. The Bucs defense stood tall, forcing a 3-and-out by Washington, opening the door for Tampa Bay's offense to extend the lead even further. Brady found Evans for a 20-yard gain on 1st down, getting the ball to the Washington 49. Then Fournette gained 17 yards on a carry up the middle. A few plays later, Brady would find Evans again for a completion at the 3-yard line, setting up 1st and goal, where Brady would connect with Cam Brate for what appeared to be a touchdown, but the ball was bobbled and the ground aided in the catch, which resulted in an incompletion. So the Bucs went back to the ground game, setting up this play.
Bucs go to work now. 2nd down and goal. Hand the ball off, and Fournette, a stutter step. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. A little stutter step when he took the hand off and exploded off left guard to the Bucs. Get a badly needed touchdown. It's 27-16.
The extra point made the lead 28-16, giving the Buccaneers some breathing room, but Washington just would not go away. Taylor Heinicke orchestrated an 11-play, 75-yard drive, going 8-for-10 and finding Steven Sims in the corner of the end zone to cut the lead back to 28-23. Brady and the offense were able to drain a few minutes off the clock by marching 58 yards in 7 plays, forcing Washington to burn all 3 of their timeouts. The drive stalled after Daron Payne's 2nd sack of the game created 3rd and 18. Brady was able to find Chris Godwin for a 16-yard gain, but it was up to Succop again, who came through with a 37-yard field goal, making the lead 8 once again. Heinicke got 26 quick yards, finding Terry McLaurin for 16 and then Cam Sims for 10 more. On 1st and 2nd and 10 from the Bucs 49, Heinicke missed his targets. Then on 3rd and 10, a big play in the biggest moment for this fan favorite.
3rd down and 10. Blitz coming. Heinicke flushed it. He's sacked at the 41-yard line. That time the blitz pays off, and Lavonte David has a quarterback sack. His first playoff game of his career.
On 4th and 21, Heinicke threw up a prayer that was batted down by Carlton Davis, and the Bucs took over on downs. Victory formation took over, and the Buccaneers would advance to the divisional round, beating Washington 31-23. The Bucs don't know as of now who they will face in the divisional round, but they will either travel to New Orleans or they will host the Rams, depending on what happens Sunday afternoon. If you were like me and you were able to lock in your bet early, then you actually won with the Bucs giving up 7.5 points. If not, you're going to get another chance next weekend with our friends over at betonline.ag. The football playoffs have already been pandemonium. You have the national championship coming up on Monday night. You have hockey season kicking off this week. You have the NBA in full
swing. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. More from your Tampa Bay Buccaneers wildcard win coming up in segment two of the Locked On Bucs podcast.
Back now for segment two, Victory Sunday and Monday of the Locked On Bucs podcast, as we are getting settled quite nicely, at least from a sports aspect, into the year 2021. Guys, it's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. James, as usual, we've got plenty of voicemails to help us break down this game. So let's not wait any further. Let's hear from the first one. Not only a member of Bucs Nation as a whole, but more specifically from the Buccaholics.
What's going on, Bucs fans, and what's going on, Buccaholics? This is Jordan from Minneapolis. Just got done watching the game. Started off great. I was really optimistic with that spread that I thought I was going to get 42-14, but halftime had its own thoughts for it, and we kind of, the defense really started to sag in that second half. I'm watching the press conference right now, and BA really said it well, and we didn't tackle worth. You can go ahead and bleep that out. I won't even say it, but we really pulled it through. I'm not worried. We're going to have our defense back after the COVID protocols and everything, and we're going to have that same offense that we saw. We went slow with Mike Evans and everything, but I think that we're going to really come out in full cylinders. I'm really excited about it, and it should be a good next three games. Let's go. Fire the cannons.
Jordan, thank you very much for the voicemail. Yeah, look, David, we've talked about it all season long where the Buccaneers had these stretches of these slow starts, falling behind in the first half, not being able to get things going. This is the fourth time in the last five games they've actually had a relatively solid start, and they were able to score on their opening possession for the third game in a row. That's what you want to see. That's what you need to see in the postseason. It'll be even more important regardless of who the opponent is next week. But if it is the New Orleans Saints, it will be vital for the Buccaneers to continue these hot starts, because going toe-to-toe with the Saints is not an easy task, as we saw in their last meeting. The lack of tackling was an issue. Bruce Arians called it out. He was not mincing words about his thoughts on the defensive performance up until the last couple minutes of the game. But that's stuff that they need to work out. Look, you continue to see the Buccaneers able to get wins when they're not playing their best, but it's time for them to put together these complete games. They have to play their best football moving forward if they are going to advance any farther in these playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. And then you talk about the difference in halves. I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, it wasn't the perfect first half by any means, but going into the locker room with more than a one score lead is always going to make a team feel better. And I go back to the crossover that I have with Chris Russell, where I asked him, you know, what kind of a lead could the Washington football team afford to let the Buccaneers take into the half in order to have a chance coming back into this thing? And then he said, you know, 7 to 10 points was, you know, no more than that. And that's exactly kind of where the Washington football team saw themselves. I mean, it was 11 points, so barely outside that window. And of course they didn't end up come back and win. So, you know, give Chris kudos for being correct there. But you look at that third quarter. I mean, the Washington football team comes down that third quarter. The Buccaneers held the ball for just over 6 minutes in the third quarter, after having the lion's share of the time possession in the first half. And that really kind of brought everything back even. I sent out a tweet during that period where the Buccaneers at that point, after the Washington football team had scored their second points of the second half, the two teams were separated by 2 points, James, but they were also separated by 2 seconds time of possession. And that's that just over 6 minutes time possession that the Buccaneers offense held in that third quarter really kind of made the difference. But then you look at that fourth quarter, and the Buccaneers were able to put points up on the board 3 times, only keep the Washington football team from scoring, or only kept the Washington football team to score just the one time, come away with the win. And I mean, you kind of look at it, it's kind of like a microcosm of the season, really. First and second quarters of the season, the Buccaneers come out of it looking okay. You're not 100% confident, but you know, you see the potential, you see the good in the team. that third quarter, you kind of want to throw it away and forget about it, but then that fourth quarter really gets them where they need to be, and that's exactly how this game went down. As far as being worried for next week, look, this week isn't going to carry into next week other than the lessons learned. Like, it's a totally different team. You know, the Buccaneers are going to be a different team in the divisional round than they were in the wild card round. Whether they play the Rams or the Saints, that team is going to be a different team than the one that you see this weekend as well. So I try not to carry too much from one game to the next, but you do have Devin White come back. You have Steve McClendon coming back. So there's plenty of reasons to be excited for the divisional round. And a lot of the players, and I'm sure Coach Arians is echoing the same thing, you just want to go 1-0 every week. After Monday or starting Monday, you're back to 0-0. And it doesn't matter what happened the weekend before. You need to go 1-0 this week. That's where the Buccaneers are going to be. And James, we can't celebrate or talk about a wild card win for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers franchise led by Tom Brady without also hearing from one of our good buddies out in Boston.
What's up, boys? Ty from Boston. First things first, congratulations to the Bucs. Finally a playoff win, first time in nearly 20 years, and it also feels like an eternity since we won in primetime. So that's awesome. Took care of business. Brady's good. Evans is a warrior. We know that. And Fournette, good job in the spot start. Watching this game, I wasn't completely sure if Heinicke was really that good or if our defense was just kind of suspect. I mean, not to take anything away from him, that was an awesome performance by him, especially under the lights. So kudos to him. But, you know, he made some great throws. He looked very athletic. He commanded his offense, and he was really tough to beat. He really played well, but I have to think that, you know, we're going to play some better offenses and some much better quarterbacks. So this performance, in my opinion, you know, for the defense, they looked shaky at times. It was a little worrisome, but, you know, I know we're missing Devin White today, and maybe next time we'll have a better game plan for whoever. But all in all, you can't get too upset, especially when the Bucs win a playoff game on the road. I mean, that's awesome. I also want to shout out the O-line. I know they had a decent game, but, you know, they made Fournette look good, and they kept Brady upright for the most part. So that's a good D-line, too. On to whoever. Go Bears and go Bucs.
Tyler, thank you very much for the call. Look, this is what you brought Tom Brady here to do. You had him on the field with a bunch of guys that, for the most part, had no playoff experience whatsoever. You have Ryan Jensen, who had playoff experience, Leonard Fournette, playoff experience, Antonio Brown, playoff experience, and Gronk. You know, so Brady comes out there. He's calm, cool, collect, except for the one time that he started screaming at somebody for being in the wrong place when he was trying to extend a play. But he brings that leadership. He brings that calmness to the team. It didn't matter about the drops by the receivers. He was still, you know, focusing on getting his guys the ball, moving the chains, and scoring points. And that's exactly what they did. He absolutely shattered the Buccaneers' record for most passing yards in a playoff game. He finished with 381. The record was 259. And if Cam Brate doesn't let that ball bounce off the turf in the end zone, he also breaks the most passing touchdowns in a Bucs postseason game. Mike Evans, what else can you say? He didn't get a lot of opportunity in the first half. He had one reception, and I think it was 15 yards or 14 yards. Goes over 100 yards in the second half, finishes the day with 6-119, no touchdowns, but he was an integral part of this team. He was a key part of the second half, making sure the Buccaneers kept the lead. And what else can you say about Leonard Fournette? Look, Ronald Jones had that quad injury. He couldn't get it loose in pregame. It swelled up on him. Leonard Fournette stepped in and had, in my opinion, his best game as a Buccaneer. He was running hard. He was running with purpose. He was spinning out of tackles. He was creating yards out of plays that looked busted and broken and looked like he would be swallowed up for no gain or even a loss. Tip of the hat to Leonard Fournette and his performance. It gives me optimism. It gives me faith that if Ronald Jones, for some reason, can't go next week, Leonard Fournette can come in and handle that job of being the lead back and help this offense.
Yeah, I mean, I would much rather still have Ronald Jones in there. I'm sure you would too. But yeah, Leonard Fournette definitely came out in this wild card game and didn't look like a liability. He looked like an asset. So hat tip to Leonard there. I know I've been critical of him in the past. And then Taylor Heinicke, talking about all that experience on the field in this game, and then you have literally no experience in playoff football, and Taylor Heinicke comes out there, throws 26 for 44, 306 yards, a touchdown, interception. Yeah, I mean, he finished with a 78.4 quarterback rating, but you look at him, you look at that 26 for 44, and I think that his wide receivers dropped enough passes. He probably gets to 30, even maybe 32 out of 44. And if you add four or five more passes completed, especially in that first drive. I pointed it out, that Cam Sims drop on 2nd and 14 in the very first drive of the game. That's a 30-yard gain. If Cam Sims doesn't drop that ball, the Washington football team has their first down of the game and their first possession of the game, and they're in plus territory, in Buccaneers territory. That could completely change the pace of the game. Instead, they go 3 and out, and the Buccaneers defense gets off the field. So, I mean, hat tip to him again, but also hat tip to the defense for stepping up in the right places. You talk about that better second half. The Buccaneers had 4 3-and-outs against the Washington football team offense all game. Two of them, James, came in the fourth quarter. So that's the way you shut down a game. And the offensive line, everybody was talking about Chase Young, Montez Sweat. And I know that they did get some sacks on Tom Brady, 3 in total, and they did get some pressures on him. I think they had 6 more quarterback hits on Tom. But they did not allow that Washington defensive front to become so disruptive that it complicated things, and it made the Buccaneers game plan anything more stressful than it had to be. So hat tip to the offensive line. Things got a little dicey after Alex Kappa left the game. We'll see how they adjust moving next week. It doesn't seem like Alex is probably coming back for the rest of the playoffs, unfortunately. Not confirmed, but that's speculative. So if Ted Larson or whoever has got to step in there for Alex Kappa on the right side, we'll see how that goes. But for this week, success. So we're happy about the offensive line, and they have plenty of things to build on for the divisional round against either the Saints or the Rams. And James, we've got one more segment coming up in today's episode. In that segment, we're going to go back over our predictions, cover the best and worst from the wild card round, and give our final thoughts from Saturday night's wild card win for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, all brought to us by Built Bar. They've got 18 amazing flavors of the best protein bar you're ever going to taste, including caramel brownie, carrot cake, and coconut, which tastes like a Mounds bar. They're all covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're like candy bars, but they're amazing for those of you out there on the keto diet. All you have to do to get in on this treat is go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKED, and you will get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtbar.com. More recap, best and worst, final thoughts coming up next on the Locked On Bucks podcast.
Wrapping things up here on a Victory Sunday, Victory Monday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast. Coming up tomorrow, I will be doing my weekly solo show with the help of some of your voicemails. We had plenty of those, so we will have a lot to dive into with that on tomorrow's episode. But David, it's time to go ahead and dive into our prediction recaps, our best and worst, and our final thoughts of the game. My bold prediction for this one was that Tom Brady was going to break the Buccaneers franchise record for passing yards and passing touchdowns in a playoff game. He broke one, tied the other with the 2 touchdown passes. I already kind of touched on that in the last segment. My score prediction was 31-14. So I got the Bucs score right. Didn't give Taylor Heinicke nearly enough credit on that one.
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, I definitely didn't see what we got out of Taylor Heinicke coming. So again, kudos to him one last time. My score prediction was 31-10, and he definitely made me regret that prediction. As far as my bold prediction, it was that Leonard Fournette was going to outsnap Rojo, which obviously came true. However, it was attached to the fact that Leonard Fournette was going to have to help that pass protection, was going to have to stay in and kind of help protect Tom Brady. Listen, I mean, Donovan Smith didn't do it alone against Chase Young and all that stuff. I know Rob Gronkowski was out there every once in a while. I'm sure Leonard Fournette got some pass protection sets, but listen, I'm going to take a loss on this one, James, because yes, Leonard Fournette outsnapped Rojo, but it wasn't because the offensive line was struggling. So I'm taking a loss on that one. That's my, I don't know, that's my little way of praising the offensive line, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, well, and I only get half credit, so we're not doing so great on our bowl predictions, but hey, at least we got the right team in our score predictions. Speaking of that offensive line, my best of the week, Donovan Smith. You said it, he didn't do it completely alone, but for the most part, when you go back and you watch this game, he didn't get a ton of help from the tight end. In fact, the closest Chase Young got to getting to Tom Brady was when Gronk was blocking him one-on-one. He didn't get a ton of help from Leonard Fournette either. By and large, he did an absolutely phenomenal job, just absolutely bottling Chase Young. One solo tackle for Chase Young, no quarterback hits, no quarterback sacks. In fact, other than that play where Gronk had him one-on-one, Chase Young didn't even get close enough to smell Tom Brady's sweat. Yeah, Donovan Smith did an absolutely fantastic job. He's been having a good season. I know Bucks fans like to rip on him, but you and I have talked about it. He is playing better now than we've seen probably in his career. He's had his struggles, but what offensive lineman doesn't? So best of the week, Donovan Smith, for taking care of business against Chase Young.
Yeah, no arguments from me. And then my best of the week is going to be, it's a little bit of a negative shade, to be honest with you, but it's Bruce Arians speaking candidly to Greg Aumann about the defensive play from the wild card game.
Bruce, for your defense, this was another one of those games where things were tight at the end, but they made the stop. You get that last drive, Levante gets the sack. What does it mean to see Levante get a sack to kind of close out the last defensive stop in his first playoff game?
Yeah, it was great because we were tackling worth the whole game. And we finally got him when it mattered. And, you know, I don't think it was the best our defense has played in a long – I mean, it was terrible up until the last 8 minutes.
Thanks, Bruce.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, you got to love a coach that is willing to appreciate the win, willing to appreciate his star player, Levante David, getting his first playoff action, but then also immediately turning from that win and saying, listen, here's where we need to get better. And I like him doing it in public, and I know a lot of people don't like when coaches do this kind of thing, but I really enjoy it from Bruce Arians because I really think that young defense over there, and you have Devin White watching that post-game press conference or hearing those comments, he's going to come back captain of this defense, look to lift his guys up with his return. Hopefully Steve McClendon also comes back. That's going to play a huge role. But then, yeah, I mean, just challenging those young players. And we saw it last year, James, when the secondary was struggling and giving up games. I mean, they should have beaten that Seattle Seahawks game in large part, but because of that secondary, that young secondary, especially Jamel Dean, but really just kind of the entire young secondary, they ended up not being able to come away with that victory. And you saw it. They kind of called them out there. They said, listen, here's how we're going to approach this. And they came out better for it. This defense, like everybody else is talking about, is going to have to play better moving forward if the Buccaneers want to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They had the opportunity to do so. I'm not, like I said earlier in the show, I'm not carrying a whole lot of negativity towards the next game from this one, because that comment from your head coach right there says, we see it, we acknowledge it, and we're already on Saturday night before they even take a shower, they're already working on how they're going to fix it for the next game. We just got to see if it works.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love, you know, a lot of times people talk about, you know, BA will sell you a bill of goods, but to me, more often than not, he's going to tell you exactly how he feels about something. And he definitely had no issue calling out the defense. My worst of the week may be a weird one, but I'm calling out Chris Godwin as my worst of the week, which I know sounds funny. The guy finished with 5 receptions, 79 yards and a touchdown, but he had 5 receptions on 12 targets. David, he matched his dropped passes for his career in this game. You cannot have that. Chris Godwin is the guy that Tom Brady tends to go to more than anyone else. And he continued to go to Godwin in spite of the drops. You nearly converted a 3rd and 18 by getting it to Chris Godwin, but you can't have those drops. Not now. I don't know if it was the finger bothering him. I don't know if it was the playoffs. I don't know if he just kind of got inside his own head. But Chris Godwin cannot play that way in the postseason, especially if you're going to go up against the Rams or the Saints. You cannot have those kinds of mistakes. And I loved the photo that was shared of Tom Brady and Chris Godwin heading to the locker room in the tunnel. Brady's got his arm around Godwin, coaching him up, talking to him about it. You know, Chris has to get that out of his mind and come back and be the Godwin we all know and love. But it also says something that he can be my worst of the game. He can have one of his worst performances and still end up with 5 for 79 and a touchdown. That's how good he can be. We just need to we need to see it again next week.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you took it because I didn't want to have to be the one to do it. I mean, it's, you know, go back to the Atlanta Falcons, ask him if you'd rather have a team that starts well or finishes well, and you'd rather have a team that finishes well. And Chris Godwin started this game really well and finished it. Terribly. Let's just call it what it is. I know that he and his fiance Mariah have a tradition. Every time he scores in a game, he comes home to a special dessert. I'm hoping he still had that dessert and he still had that treat because the man did score a touchdown in the playoffs. I hope he doesn't self-punish himself to the point where he changes his routine, because if he changes his routine, that has the potential to snowball into next weekend. But for right now, it's an isolated weekend. It's an isolated game. We're going to call it what it is, and hopefully it's just going to stay to that. My worst, and this is not isolated, this is a repeat performance, third down defense for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In the first half there, they allowed 57% of third down conversions for the Washington football team offense. In the entire game, they allowed 50%. So, I mean, in the second half, give them a little bit of credit. I guess they allowed 3 out of 7 third down conversions to be successful for Washington. whereas in the first half, they allowed a 4 out of 7. But either way, anytime you're allowing conversions north of 30%, that's not a good day for your defense. You want to keep your opponent right around that 30% mark. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense themselves, very consistent, 43% conversions in the first half, 43% conversions for the game. So pretty much the same both halves. But that defense has got to get better in that third down conversion rate, because when you start facing quarterbacks like Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, even Jared Goff, if you start giving them life and you start giving them opportunities on third downs and after third downs to continue drives, that's where you get in trouble as a defense.
Absolutely. All right, David, it's time to wrap this up with some final thoughts, and here's mine. Look, we got a better performance out of the Washington football team than many, many people expected. Again, tip of the hat to Taylor Heinicke for what he was able to do. He created a lot of plays by using his legs. The pass rush wasn't getting to him until, you know, Levante brought him down on a crucial third down at the end of the game. But just because this is how the Bucs played against Washington doesn't mean this is the same way they're going to play next week, regardless of the opponent. As Cam Brate said, it wasn't our best game, but at this point, a win's a win. Bruce Arians said, I'm not going to apologize for winning a game. You have to take it one week at a time, because this is all a collection of one game seasons. Next up is the divisional round. It could be the Saints. It could be the Rams. Either team, the Bucs are capable of beating. They just have to not beat themselves with the drops, with the penalties, with the poor tackling, or not getting off the field on third down. They have a week to get it together and prepare for the biggest game of a lot of these guys' lives. And they have the right guy under center as the leader, who has been there and done that time and time again.
Yeah, my final thoughts in this game are really going to kind of echo the sentiments I've had really a lot for the large part of the season. When you look across the scope of things, when you look across this tournament for the Lombardi Trophy, there is not a team in the postseason that this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team cannot defeat. So if you ask me what's my confidence, I tweeted last night, I said, hey, at halftime, I said, hey, Bucs fans, where's your confidence level 1 to 10? And I got a wide range of responses. And so if you were to ask me the same thing, where's your confidence level 1 to 10 that the Buccaneers can actually pull this thing off? It's a 10, because I know for a fact that this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team can beat every single team ahead of them in the playoffs. Now, whether or not they will do it is a totally different question, but that's a question that every team has to answer every single week. We've seen Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers come out and look like world beaters. We've also seen them come out and get their butts whooped. All right. So that's every single team. That's the challenge every team faces every single week. But know this, and know this right now, your Tampa Bay Buccaneers team can defeat anybody and will come out there trying to play their best football. They're getting healthier. Carlton Davis was back after missing weeks of football. So breaking that rust, shaking off that inconsistency for him is going to be huge. Coming in next week, he's going to be better. Devin White's coming back. You know he's hungry. If you watched his Twitter thread during the game last night, you know he's hungry to get out there and play again. If Stephen McClendon can come back, that's a huge piece. Vita Vea was the heartbeat of this defensive line, eating multiple blocks on every single snap. They lost him. Stephen McClendon comes in, and more from a scheme standpoint, can still try to eat up multiple sacks. But listen, without Stephen McClendon out there, Nacho's not going to get double teamed. I mean, we talked about the game snaps, James, before we start recording. JPP listed mostly as a defensive lineman. You know, JPP is a great guy, but he's not going to command a double team on every single snap coming from a hand down position. Will Golson is more of a beat your own guy type of thing or type of player. And Dominican Sue gets double teamed all the time. But even with those four guys, you've still got an extra blocker on the offensive line. That's without the running back, without the tight end staying in. They need Steve McClendon back to help make this pass rush go. Hopefully they get him back against New Orleans or against Los Angeles, and that'll be a big boost. But either way, going into the divisional round, Bucs fans, you know your team can win. We just got to find out if they're going to do it.
All right. And David, that is going to do it for this episode. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow, I will tackle more of your voicemails on my solo episode. Make sure you come back and check that out. Of course, over at BucsNation.com, I do have my pick six up already. It went up Sunday morning. So as you're listening to this, it is up and ready to go. And don't forget to head over to Bucs Nation and vote on who you think is the best and worst from the wild card victory over the Washington football team. Thank you to Troy, Matt, Jordan, and Tyler for the voicemails. Check out everything going on over at BucsNation.com. Follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucs_Nation. One down, one to go. Because, as I just said, it's a lot of one-game seasons coming up. The divisional round could be the Saints, could be the Rams. Either way, the Bucs need to handle their business. Hope you have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to each other. And we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucs.